Monte goes to the left, throws it to Joker in the paint, leans in, runner, missed it, kept his own miss in with 0.3 seconds to go. And Denver's going to survive the Sacramento Kings.
Denver Nuggets, the second best team in the Western Conference. A lot of people talking about the Thunder. A lot of people talk about the Lakers not being in the playoffs. A lot of people talk about the Warriors, but the Nuggets are right there. 39-18, the tip-in by Nikola Jokic, who is their best player. Gets a lot of triple-doubles as well, and he was a second-round draft pick. So it just goes to show you, sometimes you can find a diamond in a rough and it doesn't have to be the number one overall pick. Also, last night, a triple overtime game, the Nets versus the Cavs. And remember D'Angelo Russell, who was traded away by the Lakers? He's turned into a great player for the Nets.
Crabbe goes into motion, comes around a screen. Russell, he's got Stauskas on him, then a four to shoot. A pull-up three, and it's good for D'Angelo Russell! 36 for Russell, the All-Star!
Nets win 148-139 in triple overtime last night. They would be in the playoffs if the season ended today. The Bucks win again last night, 43-14, and the Raptors win. So the Bucks have a 43-14, a one-game lead over the Raptors in the Eastern Conference for the number one overall seed going into the All-Star break. James Harden last night, 42 points. That's 31 games in a row with 30 or more. That's the second longest streak in NBA history. The record, of course, Wilt Chamberlain, 65 straight games where he scored 30 or more. So Harden's not even halfway there yet. But in the modern day, I would say that's the record, of course, with what Harden has done. But it was in a losing effort. Rockets lose to the Timberwolves 121-111. And the Warriors, who've been red hot lately, they lose to the Portland Trailblazers last night in a big way. The final, that one was 129-107. But the Warriors are 41-16, number one seed in the Western Conference. Also coming up here on the Sports Ticket, the Broncos suddenly are the old Chiefs. They just like to sign retread quarterbacks and guys that are past their prime. We'll tell you who they picked up or going to pick up in a trade and what they do with their current quarterback, who they signed to a two-year, $36 million deal last offseason. Plus, the Royals, can they contend for the division title this year? I'll give you some reasons to be optimistic. And there was Big 12 basketball last night, and the race at the top of the Big 12 continues to be tight. Plus, the voice of the Jayhawks, Brian Haney, will join us. But first, local sports information. We have some high school basketball tonight. We've got locker room chats. We've got regional wrestling coming up. We've got Athlete of the Week. So I'll just let Dusty roll through that.
Yes, coming up tonight, there are two games on the schedule. One's a makeup game, Lakeside hosting Sylvan Lucas here tonight. And then they've moved up Rock Hills at Thunder Ridge from tomorrow night to tonight, due to the threat of some weather that might come in here. So Rock Hills at Thunder Ridge tonight and Sylvan Lucas at Lakeside on the schedule here for this evening. As Wade mentioned, also we have our locker room chats coming up here tonight. We'll talk to the head coaches of St. John's Tipton, Lakeside, Rock Hills, and Sylvan Lucas here this evening. So stay tuned for that. Again, around 5:10, they're also online at katycountry94.com. And if you ever miss our locker room chats, we always post them at the locker room chat podcast as well at katycountry94.com. So, and we usually have those all over our social media too if you ever miss them during the week. So let's look at what's going on there as far as that's concerned. As Wade said, regional wrestling coming up tomorrow and Saturday. We'll have a bit more of a preview of that coming up tomorrow once we can get everything put together, get you all the notes and everything about that, and we'll preview that with all of our area teams, by the way, are competing there. Beloit, Smith Center to Lincoln, and Osborne, as well as Rock Hills, because those wrestlers from Beloit that were wrestling for Rock Hills or from Rock Hills are wrestling for Beloit during the season. Now this is the point of the year where they have to break off and just compete for Rock Hills. So that'd be Zane Colson, Connor Kozan, and then the rest of the Beloit wrestlers will be out there ready to go. Beloit hosting 3-2-1-A coming up tomorrow and Saturday. So again, we'll have a full preview of that tomorrow on our sportscast. Also, again, we have Athlete of the Week for this week. Darnell Holloway from Osborne, the senior, the NCKSSports.com Cunningham Telephone and Cable Athlete of the Week, had two outstanding performances over the past week to help Osborne to two wins, and Bulldogs are now 18-0 on the season. Friday at Stockton, he had his second double-double of the season with 19 points and 12 rebounds, and also had five block shots in that win. Followed that up with a career-high 34 points on Tuesday night against Sylvan Lucas, went 12 of 18 and 9 of 10 from the free-throw line, and four block shots and four steals in that win. So Holloway with two outstanding games here for Osborne, helping them to a couple wins against some good teams here up late. And you can read more about Darnell at ncksports.com. Also, we have 1A regional brackets that are posted there at ncksports.com, and you can find all of those, the complete brackets, there at the website. Just a quick rundown here of area teams. St. John's, Tipton, Pike Valley, Southern Cloud, Rock Hills, and Lincoln are all going to be at the Solomon Regional, and they'll get underway on Monday, where St. John's Tipton has a first-round bye on the girls' side, and then Southern Cloud hosts Rock Hills Monday, Lincoln at home against Tescott, Pike Valley's Solomon in the first round. On the boys' side, St. John's Tipton a first-round bye. Boys' first-round games on Tuesday, Pike Valley hosts Solomon, Southern Cloud at home against Tescott, and Rock Hills at home against Lincoln. You can find all these seeds in the full brackets again at ncksports.com. Hill City is the site for Thunder Ridge, Lakeside, and Osborne. All first-round games, again, are the top seeds. Thunder Ridge girls, the number one seed. Lakeside hosts Hill City on Monday night in girls' action, and Osborne hosts Logan Monday night on the girls' side. And then on the boys, Hill City 1A Regional. Osborne, the number one seed, obviously 18-0, and they'll have a first-round bye. Thunder Ridge is at Logan Tuesday night, and Lakeside hosting Palco on Tuesday night. Sylvan Lucas hosting a 1A Regional as well. The Sylvan Lucas girls will host La Crosse on Monday in Sylvan Grove, and the boys will host Natoma on Tuesday. Again, all that, all the information, times, and everything you want to know is at ncksports.com.
All right. Big 12 men's basketball last night. Number 15, Texas Tech rolls the Cowboys, Oklahoma State, and Stillwater 78-50. That means K-State's 9-2 atop the Big 12. Texas Tech, KU tied for second, 8-4. Iowa State, Baylor both at 7-4. Haven't understood everybody sitting here saying the Big 12 is going to get 8 into the tournament. How is Oklahoma in? Oklahoma's 15-10. They lost 5 in a row. I just don't. Oklahoma's 3-9 in conference play. I don't see how Oklahoma could be in the tournament right now.
No.
I think 7 of them will get in. I don't think Oklahoma will unless they get hot.
Oklahoma, OSU, and West Virginia are not in.
Well, according to you.
Yeah.
But according to the so-called experts, Oklahoma is in.
I don't get it.
I don't get it either. Oklahoma at TCU this weekend. Oklahoma State at Texas. Baylor at number 15, Texas Tech. Number 23, Iowa State. Number 18, K-State at 3 o'clock on ESPN2 on Saturday in West Virginia at KU. 2:30 pregame on Z96.3 Lake. We'll talk more about that matchup with the voice of the Jayhawks, Brian Haney, coming to you in about 15 minutes. Well, the Broncos. Boy, us Chiefs fans are pretty scared of those Broncos now.
Crab goes into motion.
Wrong cut. Let's try this one.
Flacco was the MVP. He got paid once. He got paid twice. And now he is out as the quarterback of the Ravens, in as the quarterback of the Broncos. And it wasn't that long ago that Case Keenum, who signed with the Broncos last year, was saying he's not worried about the Broncos possibly drafting a quarterback with the 10th overall selection. Well, he was right not to worry about that.
Yeah, not that. Well, I don't know what John Elway's doing. I really don't. I don't even know Joe Flacco's better than Case Keenum. I'm not convinced of that. I mean,
they said
Joe Flacco.
The odds in Vegas stayed the same after the trade. after the news came out, they stayed 60-1.
I think you're, Case Keenum. I mean, Case Keenum. He wasn't a great quarterback when the Broncos signed him. He had a really good year with the Vikings, but he's been a journeyman quarterback his whole career, and he's Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen to throw to in Denver.
Yeah,
he didn't have the weapons. And he had a great defense in Minnesota. Last year, Denver's defense was still good, but it wasn't as good as Minnesota's year before when Keenum led him to the NFC title game. I don't know what John Elway's doing, but I love it. I love what he's doing.
Yeah,
the Chiefs fan, I love it. I don't hear any Bronco fans bragging about this at all. Bronco fans are crickets right now because I think they agree with Chiefs fans. Big deal. So you've traded a draft pick to get the same type of quarterback you already have. Nick Foles is out there. Broncos weren't interested because he's more in the shotgun, and the Broncos are going to be more under center, and Flacco's used to being under center. Flacco lost his job to a quarterback that everybody said couldn't play quarterback at NFL. He lost his job to a running quarterback.
Yeah.
So, listen, Joe Flacco, is he maybe still a decent quarterback? Sure, but he's not what he once was. And even when he was really good, I thought he was overrated to an extent because the defense carried things. Now, he had a great run when they won the Super Bowl one year, and he's usually good at throwing a deep ball, and he broke Denver's heart one year in the playoffs with a deep ball. But Joe Flacco, I mean, Chiefs fans are just like, ha-ha, this is hilarious.
Yeah.
Because this is what the Chiefs used to do. The Chiefs would go get a journeyman or they'd get a quarterback on the downside of his career. Let's just go back. You know, Steve Bono, Steve DeBerg, even Joe Montana you can throw into that. Steve Bono, Joe Montana. Trent Green was still kind of in the prime of his career, but he was coming off serious injury. Elvis Gerbach. You know, the Chiefs had the 49er pipeline. Alex Smith, of course, ended up being a really solid and good quarterback for the Chiefs. But the Chiefs would never draft their guy and develop him. They just always would get Dave Craig. Remember Dave Craig? Yep. They would just always go get a journeyman quarterback. And, you know, what was it, Damon Heward? I mean, I could keep going. And the Chiefs wouldn't draft a quarterback, wouldn't develop him. While the Broncos had John Elway. Drafted the guy, developed him. Then they eventually get Peyton Manning. They had Tim Tebow who won a playoff game. And now the Broncos are doing what the Chiefs used to do. Well, we're not really confident in the quarterbacks in this class, so we're not even going to try to draft a guy in the early rounds. So who else is out there? Oh, Joe Flacco. Okay, we're going to trade for Joe Flacco. But Joe Flacco ain't 23 anymore, and he's not very mobile. And that, I love the move by the Broncos. You gave up a draft pick to get a quarterback that may not be better than the one you have, and you're probably not going to get the same return that you gave to the Ravens in return for Case Keenum now that you'll probably try to trade him, unless Keenum's going to be a backup quarterback. You think the Broncos are going to keep paying Case Keenum starters money to be a backup? I don't know what the Broncos are doing, but I love it.
Yeah, they got $10 million dead money if they cut him. That's what's crazy about it is the contract he had.
Yes. And by the way, not a lot of people
are stuck with that.
Not a lot of people lining up to give a fourth-round pick for Joe Flacco, but the Broncos are.
Yeah, yeah. It's like it feels like the Broncos are just completely soured on the fact to try to draft a quarterback after what happened with Paxton Lynch.
Yes.
It's like we took our chance here, and it did not work. It busted so bad.
It was bad.
That we don't even want to deal with it right now. We don't even want to take that chance again for a while.
Yeah.
That's what it feels like when you go get Keenum, and then now the next year you're trading for Flacco, and it's like, yeah. Oh, yeah. Because that didn't strike fear into my heart as a Chiefs fan when they said, Flacco's getting traded to the Broncos. I was more like, what are the Broncos doing?
You know what my thought was? He's a statue back there, perfect for the Chiefs.
Exactly.
Defense. That's the type of quarterback the Chiefs like to face. Guy that you know sits in the pocket. He's not mobile. Doesn't move around. He's not going to break a lot of sacks.
Tom Brady. He's not as quick as Tom Brady.
Case Keenum's more elusive than Joe Flacco.
Yeah,
now, Flacco has a stronger arm.
Yeah,
and a little bit more experience as a starter. But Listen, I don't think that helps the Broncos much at all, to be quite honest with you. It seems like a lateral, not even an upgrade. It's just a lateral move. So, I don't. Like I said, I'm not seeing, and I know some Bronco fans around here, nobody is talking about this move as a Bronco fan other than in a negative light.
Yeah.
So
Keenum had the second most interceptions last year with 15, and Flacco's best yardage season was like 4,300 yards, 20 touchdowns, 15 interceptions.
Uh-huh.
So I just look at that and understand that's when not really
younger.
Much of an upgrade. Yeah, that was probably
younger.
3 years ago, I think. And it's like, I don't think that was much of an upgrade.
No, I don't think so either.
And it's as he gets older and then obviously lost his job this year with the Ravens. So
I'm okay with it. I'm really okay with it. Now, the question is, where does Case Keenum go? Because the Giants, if they got Case Keenum, they'd let go of Eli Manning for Case Keenum. I don't quite see the Giants doing that.
No.
Here's some of the headlines. Joe Flacco trade another ill-conceived move by John Elway to chase glory days. Bronco veterans approve Joe Flacco trade. Well, what are they going to say?
They're not going to say they don't want it.
Of course they're going to say that. But Colin Cowherd loves it, so that means the Broncos are screwed. Because Colin Cowherd, if he says something, that's the same guy initially said Mahomes wasn't going to be any good. And, you know, this and that. And it just, you know, Cowherd just talks to talk. But when you look at the numbers for Joe Flacco, I'm pulling up his numbers. Let's see, when they won the Super Bowl, what year was it when they won the Super Bowl?
2012. Yeah.
He threw for 3,800 yards, 22 touchdowns, and 10 interceptions. So even when they won the Super Bowl, it was nothing special.
Yeah.
The year after that, 19 touchdowns, 22 interceptions. Year after that, 27 and 12. That was one of his better years. Still didn't throw for 4,000 yards at the age of 29. Age of 30, 14 touchdowns, 12 picks. 31, 20 touchdowns, 15 picks, and that's the most yards, as you mentioned, 4,300. Yeah. 2017, Flacco, 18 touchdowns, 13 interceptions. And last year, 12 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. He doesn't have Hall of Fame numbers, let's just put it that way.
Yeah.
So, and he's 33, going on 34. I love it. Thank you, John Elway. Makes total sense to help the Chiefs stay atop the division. Well done. Well done, Mr. Elway. Maybe he feels sorry for the Chiefs all those years when he broke their hearts on the field. So now he's just going to go ahead and help the Chiefs win. I like it. I really do. All right. Another team in Kansas City, the Kansas City Royals. Spring training getting underway in Surprise, Arizona. And the question I was asked the other day was, Do you think the Royals can win the division title this year in American League Central? Now, before you start laughing and snickering at that, you need to understand the landscape of the division. The White Sox are rebuilding. The Tigers are rebuilding. Both weren't very good last year. The Royals had a very, you know, last 67 games, they were respectable and had the younger guys play, had a good September. I'm not saying that carries over because I don't think momentum carries over from September all the way to April, but they do have youth. They have some guys that showed some things last year. Their rotation doesn't look that bad. They have more depth in their starting rotation if a guy gets hurt. Their bullpen, they're trying to work on it. Brad Boxberger, they signed. Now they signed Jake Diekman, who, of course, played at Cloud County Community College in Concordia. He's from Wymore, Nebraska. I've always liked him. I always thought he'd be a good Royal to have a power left-handed pitcher, except maybe we could have had him a few years ago. He's 32. He was traded to the D-backs from the Rangers over a seven-year span. He has an ERA of 3.75, but he strikes out 28% of the guys he faces. So that's a power arm, and that could be a real good pickup for the Royals. And they got Boxberger. And Ned Yost says we're probably going to use a bullpen by committee to figure out who's going to be our closer or go with who's hot, which may or may not work. While Willie Peralta did a good job as a closer last year, although, you know, on a losing team, 14 save opportunities. So the Tigers are rebuilding, the White Sox are rebuilding, the Royals, of course, are rebuilding, and they've got a rotation with Brad Keller. If he does what he did last year, Salvi Perez just said the other day he thinks Keller's their ace, which I don't know if that's great because Keller's great or Duffy's not where he should be.
Yeah.
So then Duffy's your two. Junis, of course, had a pretty solid year last year, has a great stuff and a great slider. And they're talking about Ian Kinn to go into the bullpen, which Les Norman, who we've had on during the offseason, said he thought that might happen, which that's okay. Kennedy's in his final year. Jorge Lopez almost threw a no-hitter last year. Heath Fillmyer pitched well late last year. They got a few other candidates. They picked up Homer Bailey. He's going to be a starting candidate only, not a relief guy. So he may or may not make the team. You know, I think the Royals rotation's okay. I think the bullpen has gotten better with a couple of the acquisitions. I don't think it's locked tight like it used to be with HDH. And I think the question for the Royals is they're going to have a ton of speed. Billy Hamilton, Whit Merrifield, Alberto Mondesi. They got plenty of speed. But, you know, where's the power going to come from? You know, who's going to hit home runs? Soler, Bonifacio, I don't know. I don't know where the power. O'Hearn, of course, could be one of those guys. Salvi usually can hit 20 to 25 home runs. I don't think the Royals' offense is an offense that's going to scare you, and I think that's one of my bigger concerns is, okay, we got all the speed, but can we get on base and cause a lot of havoc? And I don't know about Hamilton. I do know Witt can do that. We know Mondesi in a short spell last year showed he could do that. But he hasn't done it consistently in his career. And all three of those guys I just mentioned aren't guys that walk a lot, especially Merrifield and Mondesi. Now, Hamilton will take more pitches. Okay, so you're sitting there going, well, the Royals kind of a mixed bag, what I just went over with you. Rotation decent, bullpen maybe decent, great speed, defense should be pretty good, and the offense is lacking. Okay, well, tell me what the Twins got that's so scary. Twins had a really bad year last year. Changed managers. I don't think the Twins have anything special unless they're going to have that bounce back year. Remember the Astros where they made the playoffs and almost beat the Royals, then didn't make the playoffs, then, of course, won the World Series? Maybe the Twins are going to do that. But I'm not scared of the Twins. So the team that's left basically is the Cleveland Indians. And the predictions are the Indians to win 97 games this year. I'm going to tell you right now, they will not win 97 games. I'll bet a six-pack of pop on that one. The Indians will not win 97 games. Here's the thing about the Indians. They are getting a little bit older. They've traded a lot of their assets in the minor league system to go for it the last couple of years. They had a 3-1 lead in the World Series against the Cubs, 3-1, couldn't hold on. Last year, flamed out in the playoffs, and their bullpen is getting older. Andrew Miller isn't what he once was. A lot of wear and tear. Cody Allen has pitched a lot. They've gone in the postseason the last few years. It's all that wear and tear adds up eventually on your arms. We saw that with the Royals a little bit, back-to-back runs at the World Series. The Indians' starting rotation is really good on paper, but they've had a serious injury history with their starting pitchers. Trevor Bauer is really good. Corey Kluber, of course, Cy Young caliber guy. They've got others. Carrasco's got great stuff. Santana, good stuff. But most of the time, every year, these guys get hurt at some point or another. But they do have some depth in the rotation with some younger guys. Francisco Lindor, their star, is out 7 to 9 weeks with a calf injury. He may or may not be ready for opening day, so that might not be the end of the world for the Indians. But they're a team that's aging, they're not putting a whole bunch of young guys in some of these spots. They have an outfield that you can't even name one of their outfielders. There's no Michael Brantley anymore. Their outfielders are a little bit older. They don't have great speed. They don't have a lot of power. They don't have Encarnacion anymore. They got Jose Ramirez, who was an MVP candidate last year at third base. Okay, that's him and Lindor. Those are two guys that scare you in their lineup. But after that, what do they really have? They brought back Carlos Santana, not the musician, but the baseball player who went from the Indians to the Phillies. Now he's back with the Indians at first base. But he's kind of, I think, on the backside of his career. What I'm trying to say is the Indians aren't as dominant as they've been the last few years because, one, they're getting older. Their bullpen is not locked tight. It was one of the worst bullpens last year after the year before was one of the best. They've got a great manager, so that's certainly in their favor with Terry Francona. The rotation has a history of injury problems. They don't have a lot of pop. In the middle of their lineup, I was watching Cleveland media and reporters that cover the Indians talk about how they don't have a lot of pop in the middle of their order. Well, the Royals don't have a lot of pop either. Yeah. So that makes you think, when you compare the teams here, I'm going to say it right now. I think the Royals can hang around in this divisional race a lot longer than people think. And I don't think the Indians are going to come anywhere close to 97. I think the win total is going to be around 90. And if it's around 90, then that means the Royals, maybe when you get to the trade deadline, they actually have a chance at a wild card or the division title. And here's why. If the Royals were in the American League East or West, I'd say they have no chance of winning a division.
Yeah.
But in the Central, the Tigers, the White Sox are no further ahead than the Royals right now. And the Twins, I don't know if they're further along than the Royals. And then there's the Indians. And everybody's going to automatically just go, well, the Indians are just dominant. They're going to win this division. You really break them down. They've got some flaws, too, more than they've had in the past few years. So I will say, can the Royals contend for the American League Central Division this year? Yeah, I think they can. And I think this team, I think the Royals might surprise people. The projected win total is 69. Others have said 71. And I saw some prediction 76. So if the Royals go 76 and 86, that's a step in the right direction. I think this Royals team is going to surprise, and I think they can get to 500. And if they're near 500, they will be on the cusp of being in the wild card race because that happens every year.
Yeah.
Usually, the wild card race, except for last year, usually you can get 85 wins and you have a chance to be the wild card. If you're around 500 at the start of September, you got a chance to make a run. If the Royals make some kind of acquisition at the trade deadline, if they need to or if they want to, which maybe they won't because they're in a rebuilding phase, I think the Royals are going to be better than some people think. I'm not saying they're going to win the division, but I will say this. I think they have just as good of a chance of winning this division as everybody else other than the Indians.
Oh, without question.
You know, a lot of people say the Twins would be higher than the Royals. I'm not sold on the Twins.
No, I'm not.
So
not right
I think
now,
this could be a surprising year.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, I think it's a better team than what people might realize. You know, I think they got a little confidence, some of these younger guys last year at the end of the year. I'm not saying momentum carries over, but when you get that confidence and you have the games under your belt and kind of understand what you can do at this level, that will definitely help. And I completely agree. I think they're just as good a chance as anybody else in the division to hang there and possibly, you know, contend. I think everybody will pick Cleveland to win it, but be fun to see.
By the way, the Indians could still make some moves. 100 free agents are still out there in baseball. Adam Jones, Mike Moustakas, Manny Machado, Bryce Harper, Marwin Gonzalez, to name just a few. So, you know, Indians could easily grab an Adam Jones or maybe they would suddenly get a Machado or a Harper, which I highly doubt. Marwin Gonzalez is a really good player from the Astros, a free agent. So the Indians could get stronger, and I don't think the team they have now is the team they're going to go with the whole year. So that could probably help alleviate the worry that the Indians won't win the division title. But as of now, the Royals, yes, I think they have a chance to contend in this division.